You know, oftentimes people will look at the priest and they say that he is supposed to act like God, right? Like Jesus in the midst. And so if a priest is a little nasty, might be mean or something like that, it's pretty offensive to the people because they're saying, you know, the priest is supposed to act like Jesus for them. That's why he's there celebrating the Eucharist. And it becomes like a contradiction of the symbol of the priest who's supposed to be in persona Christi and like Jesus. The only thing is, that's only part of our faith, because believe it or not, the married couple is supposed to act like Jesus and God's love, Jesus's love for the bride, which he is the bridegroom. And so this whole idea of marriage between Jesus and the church, or all of us, is very important. And so when marriage doesn't live up to what it's supposed to be, as imaging God's love for us in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, then you can see that it's hard also to find. It's a scandal in our faith to see that. And I say that because here that's exactly what you look at today's first reading. You might have probably just paid it, let it go, like I often do myself, so I don't blame anybody. But it's from the book of the prophet Hosea. So we're talking about an Old Testament image, even before Jesus, where Jesus says, I'm the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and that's the kind of relationship, the love and dedication and self-sacrifice that Christ had for the church is like a husband and a wife sacrificing for each other. So you're supposed to image that for the world. And that's especially what children are supposed to see, is that in that married covenant, is that self-sacrificing, so that it's very easy for them to see Jesus as a self-sacrifice, because they're supposed to look at a married couple and say, see, that's how God loves me, all right? Well, the way they love each other. Because if you take a look, it says, thus says the Lord, I will allure her, I will lead her into the desert and speak to her heart. Hosea is talking about the Israelite people, right? So the Israelites, the chosen people, the church before it was, we called it the church, right? So the Jewish people. I will lead her into the desert and speak to the heart. That's because you have to go to the desert to hear that in the heart. It says, she will respond as in the days of her youth when she came out of the land of Egypt. Because we know that the Israelite people were freed from Egypt, right? So that's why they're going to be as her youth, when they were just beginning to be a people in Israelite, when they were freed from Egypt into the desert, heard God's voice. And that says, on that day, she shall call me my husband and never again my Baal. What that means is that on that day, the people, the us now, the people of God, will call God my husband and never again my Baal. In other words, God doesn't want this kind of relationship of God like the Baals and serving all of these gods, you know, because the Baal was the false gods in the way. But he wants to be called that loving relationship between a husband and a wife. So call God my husband, because we are the wife, the bride. It says, I will espouse you to me forever. We are in a marital relationship with God, right? I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. That's what God wants from us, our relationship. What kind of relationship should you have with God? An espousal relationship. A relationship of the love between a husband and a wife is the relationship between you and God, and God in you. It says, I will espouse you in fidelity. God will always be faithful to us. And you shall know the Lord. And therefore, you shall know who God is. That God wants that kind of fidelity of a husband and a wife who promise to be faithful to each other forever. God says, that I will be for you as well. That's why for us, it's one of the sacraments, is because everybody always seems to focus on, oh, well, the priests or the church or the bishops and the pope and all of that, and they're God's presence on earth. That is true. I'm not denying that. But that's not the whole truth. And all of you sitting in the pews right here who are married, and all those who are watching in live stream, if you're married, you have just as a greater responsibility to show Christ to the world by your love, so that we then can find how much God loves us by watching you. So that's why for us, we've never believed in divorce, because we would say God would never divorce us. God would never separate himself from us. He would always remain faithful, like we're supposed to remain faithful. That's why a sacrament are signs and symbols of a reality of God. So that's why baptism, confirmation, first communion, marriage, and holy orders, anointing of the sick, and confession. These are sacraments of us seeing God and getting into the relationship with God and understanding their signs and symbols of a greater reality that is real. So that's why oftentimes we forget that, and of course we think it's just a sort of natural thing of two people who have a decision to do what they want in this life. And we say, not for us, because that's never the way, even in the Old Testament, God understood marriage, because he made himself, the image and his faithfulness to the people. And whenever they were unfaithful to God, you read the Old Testament, whenever people were unfaithful to God and they started serving other gods, he referred to it as committing adultery against him, because that was the relationship he expected to have, he wanted to have with each one of us.